we come to you live from Washington, D.C. Jay Otteson is still with us. SM Energy, as is none other than Mary Catherine Heitkamp. How you doing, Heidi? Good to see you.
Good, Joel.
I still, you know, just in honor of
your father. I just want you all to know that he cleans up pretty good here.
I got a tie on.
And a blue shirt.
You know how stupid at security at airports they look when your ties are pre-tied by your wife? You know how dumb you look? I told her clip-ons are the way to go.
I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. We were talking about a little oil development, and Heidi, before, and you were here for part of the conversation, you heard us talking about it, and basically what Jay and I and Jack were really trying to send a message at is don't be afraid to invest.
Yeah.
Even at the North Dakota level.
You mean the infrastructure.
Because this isn't going away, is it, Heidi?
No, I mean, I lived through the 80s, and I was tax commissioner when people in Williston would call me up and cry because they were suffering the consequences of overbuilt infrastructure, and their tax rate was so off the charts. And I think it's made people understandably hesitant. But I think everything that I've seen, and I, you know, judge this from what I saw in the 80s and the 90s and now, this is real. This is going to be a huge part of our economy for a long time to come. We need to provide the infrastructure, whether it's water, whether it's roads, whether it's housing, that is going to accommodate the population increase and is going to provide a quality of life that we expect in Western North Dakota. And infrastructure is a huge part of that quality of life.
Jay's home base is a parish down in Louisiana, which is code for county for you people up in the north. But, you know, Jack is based out of Colorado. I mean, this is national attention to a state that if somebody would have asked us, Heidi, years ago, what plan do you have to bring industry to the state? How can we create jobs? How can we were a state whose population was going down. This is the dream. I'm sitting here last night and I've got cabbies telling me, there's no unemployment there. I mean, it must resonate through the halls that you work in here as a United States Senator.
Well, it absolutely does. But the message that I love to give is that this isn't just about North Dakota. This is about the country. We've now come up with the technology to basically release an energy source that will make us energy independent. I mean, no one expected that this would ever happen in our lifetime. And I want to make a couple public policy points. That kind of technological development happened under a tax and regulatory structure that was predictable, that had been, you know, whether it's IDCs or, depletion, these tax rules have been in existence a long time. And I just bristle when people say, oh, those huge benefits, or we're going to take away these tax incentives. I say, you know what? It's those those tax laws that are ordinary necessary business expenses. That tax policy has driven this technology that is going to lead us to be the energy renaissance state that we are, but also in this country and in North America. And so, you know, I think the important part here to let people know is this isn't just good for North Dakota. It's good for the country. It's good that we're experiencing this energy renaissance. We're starting to see advanced manufacturing opportunities come back to the United States because of the gas plays. Of course, North Dakota has oil, you know, and all of this will make our economy vibrant again if we don't mess it up.
Jay, do you make that pitch at SM? Do you tell people that, you know, I'm not trying to get into the politics that I may have of getting oil from overseas and those type of things, but to develop it here, to be independent here and not relying on foreign oil, it's got to be a good sales pitch to make.
Well, we talk a lot about how, you know, our whole purpose as a company is to make people's lives better here in North America. That's really what we're about. And, you know, as you look at what's happened over the last, you know, now 20 years almost, it's just been remarkable how technology's moved us in this direction and how big an impact it has on so many people. And really lifting people out of poverty. It's a prosperity increasing activity that we do. People don't think of us that way, unfortunately, but in many places. And as I hear you talk, Senator, I'm just so grateful for the Senate that we have people, rational people from the interior of the country in our less populated states who can kind of balance this equation out, against the people from the left and right coast, because you don't hear that much sense being talked by a lot of people who frankly don't live in. I grew up in Colorado. Our company's headquartered in Denver. We're very much a middle-of-the-country kind of company with the kind of values that we have there. But it really is about people, Joel. I think over the long haul, people are going to see this revolution. They're going to say, man, that really enhanced the prosperity of Americans. And that's really what we're here for.
From my standpoint, Heidi, we could do this all day. We understand it. You and I were dying to see Western North Dakota explode and take off and have the type of economic development they have. But also, I don't want to take whatever limited time I get a chance to visit with you on the radio about this without speaking on behalf of those people who live out there.
Yeah.
Because the Jays and the Jacks and the other people that people are going to meet today, they do this one thing for North Dakota. They pay taxes, too. And I'm getting... Not to get too political here, but I don't want this whole cream can, let's bury it in the yard for a rainy day mentality. We got to build some infrastructure in North Dakota, and Harriet and Bob should be able to live out their life in Williston without worrying about getting kicked out because rent's too high.
Well, I think there was a hesitancy because is this real? So you can give people a little bit of leeway there, Joel. You know, was it real? Okay, now we've proven that this is real. You know, now is the time to make the investment. Now is to not say, oh, by the way, you're living out there and you've got this great economic play and we're going to double your taxes to pay for infrastructure for it when they're sitting on billions of dollars of state revenue as a result of the oil industry. That money needs to come back to those counties and those cities. It needs to be invested in law enforcement. It needs to be invested in housing, infrastructure. By that, I mean streets, curbs, and gutter. That one of the big problems we have with housing, Joel, single family housing, is the infrastructure costs for, in fact, investing in curb and gutter, investing in the sewer system, the water system. That's all embedded in those lot costs. People can't afford it. And so, you know, now is the time to make that investment, to not be so conservative. I know everybody, you know, conservative. There's a guy in Fargo once who talked about kind of, you should think about these opportunities like you would a megaphone, right? There's a little hole on one end and a big hole on the other end, and you look through the big hole so you can see the wide horizon. He said, sometimes in North Dakota, we turn it around and stick our head in the big end and look out that little hole, and that's what we see. It's time to open up our horizons. It's time to open up the checkbook, do the investment that we need to do so that we can grow the opportunities for families, so that when you employ someone in North Dakota, it's a family. They have their kids in school. They have an opportunity to do hockey and recreation. I mean, that's the future if we're willing to make the investment now.
Jay, if I had housing for 50, 60 more families in Divide County, and these are all the type of families that can pass the drug test the minute you give it to them, do they got a job tomorrow?
Well, I think so. There's going to be a continuing demand for employees up there. You know, we as a company contributed about $55 million last year in severance tax and royalties to the state of North Dakota. We'd really like to see that money come back to Western North Dakota in the form of infrastructure. We've been participating in building a community rec center in Crosby, for example, as a company. There's a lot of need for people there and for the people we brought in, the people who are going to stay there for the long term.
So what happens here in D.C.? Because everything from the Keystone Pipeline to I hear the president talk at times with things that I know directly conflict with some things that you believe, Heidi. I mean, I'm sorry, but I've heard you referred to with the word coal many times.
Well, this was interesting because the part of the State of the Union that I listened to very closely was the part where the president was bragging about, you know, for the first time in decades, we've actually crossed the line where we're actually using more of our own oil and gas that's produced here than we are importing, and that we've got this new renaissance in manufacturing. And then he started talking about natural gas as a bridge fuel, and he started talking about, you know, equity and taxes, and those were all code words for unraveling the policies that made all that happen. And I said, you can't brag about this and then take away the policy work that's being done. And so what we need to do is we need to make sure that the tax code continues to treat the industry fairly and not target the industry because they happen to be doing well right now, target them for increased taxes. We need to make sure that we don't adopt a tax or a regulatory policy that's one size fits all. We need to make sure that we have we're sending the right messages here in Washington, D.C. that will continue the technological developments that have made this possible. And I think sometimes we don't hear that enough, but back to your point that we have people, and I think now with Mary Landrieu, the head of the Energy Committee, that's a huge opportunity for us to continue to educate about what the oil and gas industry has done, how this play is working for the rest of the country, and how we're going to move this forward in an environmentally appropriate way. I know there isn't anyone I know in the industry who wants to destroy the environment. I mean, you know, this isn't a 1960s or 1950s kind of company. You know, people want to do this right. They're thinking about that as a value every day, whether it's safety of the workforce, whether it's environment of the community, whether it is infrastructure of the community. Those are values that all these, especially the major companies, have brought to the to North Dakota. And we need to recognize that we're all in this together, working together to solve the problems that there are. But we can't do it without resources. And that's your point.
Well, and the other point to all that is, I mean, recently I heard you get your nasty voice out. When I beat you in Pinochle, I'm used to that voice.
Well, you'd hear it so infrequently, I guess.
that voice of, hey, we can do better than moving this by rail. And the people of Castleton deserve to know that there's a safer way to do this.
But understand this, Joel, where everybody will talk about pipelines, we will continue to move crude by rail. You aren't going to see the kind of investment that you see out there. Plus, it has provided a real opportunity for market for our product. And the more diverse we have in terms of market opportunity, the lower we're going to see those transportation deducts, the lower we're going to see the deduct on our product. Product has more value when you can get it to more places. And so, yes, we need more pipelines. But we also need to appreciate that the rail industry is going to be part of our transportation solution for a long, long time.
No, I know that. But my point is, if I'm living in Castleton after the number of derailments that they've had right by there, I want to know that they're fixing it.
Well, it's interesting because
I want the Norbert Merchers of the world to make sure my car is running right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's really interesting because every time I raise that, there's at least five excuses. I say, you know what? Once, maybe that's bad luck. Twice, maybe that's a coincidence. Four times, I'm not buying whatever you're telling me. And no one in North Dakota is. You can't have that length of track and see those level of derailments. We're going to continue to do everything we can to get to the bottom of
Jay,
it.
Jay, before I let you go, I'm going to let you get the last word. I want to thank you for coming on with us today, though.
Well, it's been a thrill. I'm thrilled to meet the senator, and thank you again for all you do for us in
the
middle
states.
Well,
and thank you for continuing your investment, and we look forward to many, many more years of working with your company and moving the country and the state forward.